Stand with me just for a short reading here from God's Word. Psalm 148, verses 5 through 6 and 13. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at His command they were created, and He established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted, His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. Lord, I pray that that Your grace and Your wisdom, Lord, would be upon Your servant, and Lord, that this message would be one that would edify and lift up those who are present today. Pray that in Your precious name. Amen. Well, what's in a name? That was sort of the title that I came up with for the sermon. This actually kind of started back, I think it was February. We were at an elders meeting, and Pastor Ray had just sort of concluded, or was just about to conclude, his year-long series on a New Testament survey. So I looked at him with a kind of a wry smile, and I said, "Ray, ready to start the Old Testament now?" And he looked back at me with a smile that was a little bit even more wry, and he said, "Why don't you do it?" So, that kind of died then right there. Until a few weeks ago, when he told me that he would be traveling, and he asked if I would like to come forth and bring the message. So I said, well, it's only fair that I would try to do an Old Testament survey. So I handed Pastor Bob this morning a copy of the PowerPoint presentation, and at first I thought that he might need medical attention because it was quite heavy and it was quite thick. But I think it'll move along pretty quickly. No way, shape, or form can I attempt to do a complete, you know, Old Testament survey today. So what I'd like to do today is I'd like to take a look at what's in a name. And what I'd like to do is take a look at actually what's in God's name. In Old Testament times, a name was not only identification, but it was also an identity as well. Many times there was a special meaning that was attached to a name. And names had, among other purposes, an explanatory purpose. Now, before we delve into the name or names of God that were used in the Old Testament, let's just take a look at a few of those examples. First was Abram. Abram meant exalted father. But after Abram was called by God and was then told by God that he was going to become the father of many nations, God changed Abram's name. He said, "You will now be called Abraham," which literally means father of many nations. Moses, the name Moses literally means saved from the water. And if you remember the story of Moses, the Pharaoh had decreed that the firstborn of the children of Israel should be killed. And Moses' mother placed him in that little basket-type thing among the reeds in the water, and literally, Moses was saved. He was saved to become the one who led God's chosen people out of the promised land. Literally means saved from the water. Elijah means Jehovah is God. Nabal, interesting character. His name means fool. And there's a passage in which Abigail says to David, "For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and his folly is with him." Job, interesting character from the Old Testament. I'll bet you can guess what his name means. He was the afflicted one. And Job was surely afflicted. Although in the end, He was lifted up by God, and he was completely restored. Elizabeth, mother of John the Baptist. The name Elizabeth means consecrated to God. Jesus means Jehovah saves. And Mary was told to give her son that name specifically. Simon, the name Simon means obedient. And then towards the end of Matthew, Jesus changed Simon's name. His name was changed to Peter, which means rock. And Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Kind of interesting, you actually see him referred to as Peter throughout most of the New Testament, the four Gospels. But you have to remember that those Gospels were not written contemporaneously with what was going on. They were written afterwards. So most of the people who wrote those Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they knew him as Peter because his name had already been changed. Interesting, though, the meaning of his first name, Simon, obedient. Now, Jesus walked up to him one day and said, "Put down your nets and follow me." Now, if that had been me, I can tell you we would have had a short conversation that probably would have turned into a few days. You know, why? You know, what should I, you know, what's going to happen to this? What's going to happen to that? Not Peter. You know, gospel records that he dropped his nets and he followed. He was obedient. Now, how many of us today, when we go to name our children, really think about what the name means? You know, it's more like, "Ooh, I like that name. That sounds like a nice name." Sometimes names become more popular as time goes by. I can remember when I was a teacher, you know, kids would start coming in, they'd come in the first day, you'd have that roster, and you'd try to match up all the names with the faces so that the second day you could call on them by name. And I'd look at some of the names and I said, "Whoa, kids didn't have those names when I was a kid." You know, names sometimes come in and out of fashion. I don't know if my wife's parents, you know, thought about the fact that, you know, the name Elizabeth meant consecrated to God when they gave her that name. Luckily, I don't know anybody here who's named Nabal, so you're all safe. Well, not only did the names that people had in the Old as well as New Testament mean something, but God also has many names. And they each mean something. And today, that's what I want to take a look at, what some of the names of God were in the Old Testament, because what they do is they reveal the character and the nature of God. Throughout Scripture, God reveals himself to us through his names. Many names. When we study these names that he reveals to us in the Bible, we'll better understand who God really is. And finally, the meanings behind God's names reveal the central personality and the nature of the one who bears them. Now, you already know many of these names. Some of you may know all of the ones that I'll present here today. Some of you may say, "You know, I've heard of that." And if that kind of pops into your mind that you've heard that before, best guess is that you probably heard it when we were singing a worship song, because many of the worship songs actually contain one of the names of God, and that was the way that people worship God. All right, Pastor Bob, here we go. First name that we have for God is the name Yahweh, which means I am. It also means Lord, Jehovah, or the final spelling of that name, which is up there in capital letters, YHWH. What's that? Well, first of all, in the Hebrew alphabet, or in Hebrew words, they didn't use vowels. They only used consonants. That's number one. Second thing is that the name that God had, the name that he gave to Moses to relate to his people, was considered to be extremely holy. The Jewish people didn't even speak God's name. They only wrote it. Speaking God's name was akin to meeting God face to face. And in the Old Testament, meeting God face to face usually meant that you were going to meet your Maker. The only time that I found, as I was studying this, and I hope it's true, that the only time the name of God was actually spoken was in the temple by the priests as they were ministering to God. And then when the temple was destroyed in Jerusalem, that custom, literally, of speaking God's name and passing it down to the priest of the next generation, from generation to generation, was lost. And the actual name, the actual pronunciation for this, was also lost. So Yahweh is approximately our best guess at what this was. It was first used in Genesis 2:4, which was the account of the heavens and the earth, and when they were created, and when the Lord God made the heavens and the earth. That was the first use of the name Yahweh. The first time it was revealed by God was in Exodus, chapter 3 and verses 13 through 15. When God said that, you know, Moses should go and tell the people that he had met God face to face and this was what was going to happen. In verse 13 it said, Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What's his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." And God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation.'" God is the great I Am. By the way, the name Yahweh occurs over 6,500 times in the Old Testament. If you start leafing through the Bible, you find the word God with a capital G or Lord many times. The majority of those times, it's referring to that name Yahweh. Even in the New Testament, that name appears. Jesus, one of the times that he was being questioned by the Pharisees, you know, revealed who he was. He said, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" And Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am." He revealed that he was God before time. At this, they picked up the stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. So God revealed, Jesus, when he was on earth, revealed who he was at that time. The next name we have is Adonai. Kirk could probably get up and start the worship song, "Praise Adonai." The word Adonai means Lord. Master. So when we sing that, we are literally singing, "Praise Lord, praise you, Master." It's found in Genesis 15:2. That's actually found over 434 times in the Old Testament. The first time it's found is in Genesis 15:2. When Abraham was told at approximately 90 years old he was going to have a child. And he said, "Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus?" Sovereign Lord there is literally Adonai. The next name for God, Elohim, which means judge, God the creator. It's a reference to God's power and might. It occurs over 2,000 times in the Old Testament. The first time it's found is in Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God, Adonai, the judge, the creator, created the heavens and the earth." In Psalm 19:1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, The skies proclaim the work of his hands. The work of his hands being the creation of the heavens, the earth, and everything in it. The next name for God found in the Old Testament, and these are, by the way, in no particular order, I guess more alphabetical than anything else. El Elyon, the Most High God. It appears over 28 times in the Old Testament, mostly in the Psalms. However, it is found in Genesis 14, verses 18 and 19. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, El Elyon. And he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, El Elyon, creator of heaven and earth." The next name that we see for God is El Olam, the everlasting God, the God of eternity, the God of the universe, the God of Ancient of Days. Another worship song that we often sing. In Genesis 21, verse 33, we find that name, El Olam, where God planted a tamarisk, Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the eternal God, El Olam. In Jeremiah 10:10, we find, "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, El Olam, the King eternal." And in Isaiah 26, verse 4, "Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal." In Genesis 16, we see another name for God, El Ruah, the God who sees. And you may be asking, why should we be concerned with all these names of God? Well, number one, it reveals to us the character of God. It reveals to us who God is. And when we pray to God, we need to know, what is the character of God? What should we ask God for? What can he do for us? What can we do for him? Who is he? When we pray to him, if we keep these names of God and their meanings in mind, I think we can better talk to the Father. El Ruah, the God who sees. In the story of Abraham, Sarai, and their quest to have a child, you might remember that Sarai had a servant, and at one point in time, she said to her husband Abram, at that time, you know, "Take my servant and have a baby with my servant so that you have a lineage to pass on your possessions to." And they did that. And a baby, and she became pregnant. But when she became pregnant, Sarai started to despise her, most likely because she had not been able to provide Abraham with a child. And she really treated her slave very poorly. But God appeared to her slave, you know, and asked her what was the problem, and consoled her. So here, you know, we have a slave now who says she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me, the El Ruah." No matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, God sees us. Sometimes that's a great thing, and sometimes we'd rather that that didn't happen. But he sees us, always. Another one that we often see in worship songs, El Shaddai. God is the Lord Almighty. This particular translation occurs, or this particular name of God occurs 7 times in the Old Testament. In Genesis 17:1, it says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Ooh, the next one. Quanah, which means jealous. When God gave the Israelites the 10 commandments, he said to Moses in Exodus 20, verse 5, you shall not bow down to them or worship them, meaning other gods. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. And then in Exodus 34, verse 14, when the 10 commandments were given to Moses again because he had bust them after he came down off the mountain and saw what the people had done, in Exodus 34, 14, on the new stone tablets, it says, do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, Quanah, is a jealous God. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Boy, can we grab on to that one. God is the Lord, our provider. He provides for us. In Genesis 22, you remember the story where Abraham went up onto the mountain to perform the sacrifice. And Abraham and his son started cutting down the wood. They started building the stack of wood there to burn the sacrifice on. And when they had finished that, Abraham took his son and put him on the stack of wood and was just about ready to pull the knife out to sacrifice his son when God said, here I am. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And in verse 13, it says, Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Sometimes we have to go through some pretty tough things. Maybe thoughts in our own mind. But the Lord does provide. Well, the next one, Pastor Bob, I can get Diane back up here to help me pronounce this one. Jehovah Mekadesh, the Lord who sanctifies you. It's the Lord who sets you apart, the Lord who makes you holy. Paul expounds upon that in the book of Romans, in the New Testament. Even before Christ walked on this earth, God revealed himself as the one who would sanctify us, make us holy before him. In Exodus 31:13, God revealed to Moses, say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Jehovah Mekadesh. And in Leviticus 28, keep my decrees and follow them, for I am the Lord who makes you holy. Jehovah Mekadesh. Comes another worship song. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, my banner. God is our banner of encouragement. It only occurs once, actually, in the Old Testament. Found in Exodus 17:15. It says, Moses built an altar and called it the Lord, my banner, Jehovah Nisi. When the armies marched out, they used to carry a banner, sort of like a flag. And that would be a, sort of a rallying point. You know, when the battle got tough, you know, sometimes you had to pick yourself up off the ground, but if you got up and you saw that your flag, your banner was still flying, it kind of gave you a little bit of extra get up and go to keep the fight up because you knew you were still in it. And for the Israelites, their banner was God. It was God who led them through the fight. He was their Jehovah Nisi. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd, or the Lord my friend. I think most of us have heard Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, my Jehovah Rohi. Very close, Jehovah Rophe. And by the way, some of you, if you've seen these before, you might have seen them with slightly different spellings. And there are. Sometimes this is spelled Jehovah Rapha, R-A-P-H-E. And so that's the same with some of these other names. It's the Lord who heals. The Lord is our great physician who heals not only physical, but also emotional needs, as well as spiritual needs that we may have. He's our Jehovah Rapha. In Exodus 15, it says, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you, the Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord is peace. It occurs only once in the New Testament, and it's in Judges 6, verse 24. This is when God appeared to Gideon, told him to get up the army and head out, and Gideon said, well, Lord, you know, you got to give me a sign here. You know, we call it the Gideon's fleece. You know, that's where Gideon placed the fleece out. And he said, Lord, if the rest of the ground is covered with dew, but the fleece is dry, then I'll know it's you. You know, and the Lord acquiesced to that request, and Gideon went on to defeat the army. And in Judges 6:24, it says, so Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, the Lord is peace. And to this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abizarites. Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. And what that meant was that the Lord, it was brought forth mostly, actually only once in the Old Testament, it was brought forth by the prophets when Israel had been taken into exile. And Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, meant that the Lord has not abandoned Israel. Israel will be restored. God is still with them. And in Ezekiel 48, verse 35, it says, the distance all around, and this is the New Jerusalem, will be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that time on will be, the Lord is there. Literally, it was written, Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Now in the New Testament, it says, our righteousness is as filthy rags. The only thing that makes us righteous is Christ and his dying on the cross for us. Well, that even appeared in the Old Testament. Appeared twice. In Jeremiah 23, verse 6, it says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. Jehovah Tsidkenu. And in Jeremiah 33, verse 16, in those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. So you may only, you know, look and read some of these verses, and you may see the Lord there, and you may understand that that's God. But you have to also understand that these are specific names of God, names which give us the character of God. You know, and God's Word says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if his character was like this in the Old Testament, his character is like that today, and his character is like that forever. Well, as Pastor Bob will attest, we're moving through this, and we're sort of coming to the end. And what I'd like to do to sort of finish this up is take a look at one of the Psalms. Now, this isn't the shortest psalm. It's not Psalm 117, which only has two verses. But it's also not Psalm 119, which Pastor Ray preached a series of messages about. If you remember, Pastor Ray preached a series called Selah, which means what, Al? This is one of Al's favorite words. Selah. Rest. Psalm 119 is so long that there are many Selahs in Psalm 119. Pretty hard to read through it in one sitting. There are a lot of Selahs, a lot of rests. So somewhere is in between that shortest psalm, Psalm 117, and the longest psalm, Psalm 119, we have a more moderate psalm, Psalm 23, which most of us know. Now, Psalm 23 was written by David, and it's very short. It's really only six verses. But if we take a look at Psalm 23, what we're going to see is that in those six verses, there are actually references to eight of the names of God that we've just gone over. And I think that's why David cherished and wrote this psalm, because what it did in speaking this psalm and writing this psalm, what he was doing was literally saying to himself, this is the character of God. This is what I need right now. So Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, my Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want because he is my Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. He provides for us. In verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me besides the still waters. And in some of the translations, more modern translations, it says the still waters of peace. He's my Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. He restoreth my soul. He's my Jehovah Rophe. He's my healer. The Lord, my healer. Physically, spiritually, and emotionally. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. He's Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord, our righteousness. And in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. And thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He's Jehovah Nisi. The Lord will provide. Thou anointest my head with oil. He's Jehovah Mekadesh, the Lord who sanctifies or anoints or consecrates. You know, if you remember in in Exodus 8:12, you know, Aaron was anointed with oil. And it said, and he poured the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. He's our Jehovah Mekadesh, the Lord who sanctifies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, I pray that we dwell in your house forever. Lord, that we're always cognizant. Lord, not necessarily of your names per se, that we're able to memorize this, but Lord, that we do retain who you are, what you are, what your personality is. Lord, through tough times, as well as through good times, Lord, remind us of who you are, who you were, who you are, and who you always will be. In your precious name I pray. Amen.